The podcast of this local government meeting is brought to you by Michigan Radio. For more coverage of local government meetings and to find out how you can support this service, go to michiganradio.org.
Okay. Good evening. I'd like to call to order the council meeting for March 27th. And if the clerk could please call the roll.
Certainly. Councilmember Brown.
Present.
Councilmember Garza. Councilmember Hussein. Councilmember Jackson.
Present.
Councilmember Cost.
Here.
Councilmember Spadafore.
Present.
Councilmember Spitzley.
Here.
Councilmember Wood.
Here.
There are six members present at quorum. Councilmembers Garza and Hussein are absent. And we are to the meditation and Pledge of Allegiance.
Is there anyone someone would like us to remember this evening on the dais? Seeing none, if we could all rise, please.
Okay, we do not have any proceedings for approval this evening, so we are to special ceremonies and presentations. And item number one is Emily Linden, the internal auditor.
And I would like to pass the gavel. All right, thank you.
Councilmember President Wood.
Thank you. As many of you know, we have gone through a period of not having an internal auditor. We have gone through two different postings for this position. Our last posting, we had several more candidates. We went through the testing process, and after the testing, we agreed to interview four applicants. One of those applicants chose to pull out, and we did the interview with the other three applicants. At that time, we had a series of questions. We had Councilmember Garza, who chaired the committee, Councilmember Spadafore, Councilmember Jackson, and myself on the committee. And during that process, we interviewed Emily, and we listened to all of her concerns and the issues that the questions that we had for her. She was very knowledgeable in the works of the city. We were all impressed with her comments and the fact that she was somebody that would be ready to start and had a good grasp of the software and the different things that we would need for that. So we are recommending to the full council to appoint Emily, our new internal auditor. And with that, I would move it, but what I would do is also ask if there's anyone who sat on the committee that would like to add anything to that.
Councilmember Jackson.
Thank you. Just we don't always agree, but we certainly agree in our praise for Emily here today, because she was able to answer all the questions. She had very intimate knowledge of the budget, all the different accounts and line items and like their history, and it was very impressive. So I think she's going to be able to help us all individually as council people, but also as a full council with this budget. So I'm glad that you're on board today, starting today.
All right, thank you. And I'm sorry, it's you. Go ahead.
You gave me that gavel. I'm never letting go. And I also want to, I was sat on the committee as well, and just wanted to thank Emily. I sat through a number of those interviews several times through the process, and by far and away you were the most qualified candidate, and really excited to work with you in this role as internal auditor. So with that, seeing no further discussion, Councilmember Wood, did you want to make a motion? Did you already make a
motion?
I made a motion. All right. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 All opposed, please say nay. Motion carries unanimously. Mr. Clerk.
Okay, and with that, we would like to swear her in so that she can start working and by the time it takes her to get sworn in. So. Mayor Shore.
Well, we have a resolution in front of you. As you know, Congresswoman Slotkin every year for the last few years has offered up the opportunity for communities to provide requests for community funding. So we're bringing these that the Congresswoman's office has vetted and recommended that we apply for. We bring them to you, and then Jane's got all of the rest of the details or any answers for questions that may come up.
Thank you. I think we had a very good explanation during Committee of a Whole, and if people have other questions, it is on the consent agenda, so if there are questions, it would need to be pulled from the consent agenda. Okay? So next we go into council member comments. Council member Brown?
I was gonna say if we could pull it.
We're not to that point of the of the agenda yet. Okay. Councilmember Spitzley.
Thank you, Madam President. And I'm always, when I want to say something that I feel strongly about, I always try to write stuff down because I'll get emotional and I'll misspeak. So last Wednesday evening, I think, the residents of 922 West Holmes were told by code enforcement that the apartment complex was no longer safe. It was red tagged and they could no longer live there. The owner of the apartments, Mr. Simtab, has purchased a number of apartment complexes here in the city, including Marvin Gardens, which also faces significant issues, safety issues. So for those council members who are not plugged into this issue over the weekend, at your stations are pictures that show 922 West Holmes and 1317 East Kalamazoo and 1415 East Kalamazoo. Which were the apartments the owner planned on moving them to, and I'll talk a little bit more about that a little later. First, I want to thank Councilmember Hussein for the pictures. He's not here. I also want to acknowledge the efforts by Barb Kimmel and Shelby Frayer that evening. What happened last week was a failure to those displaced, but also to the residents of this city who count on us to do our jobs. I will accept responsibility in my role in this. Last year, as chairman of the Ad Hoc Committee on Housing and Safety, we submitted a series of recommendations to the administration regarding code enforcement and the role of the City of Lansing's Housing Ombudsman, and I did not follow up on those recommendations, and that's my fault. However, the mark of true leadership is to admit your failures and move forward to correct them. So, Madam President, I'm asking you to convene a special committee of the whole to discuss what happened last week. What is continuing to happen regarding code enforcement, red and pink tags, and what role HRCS and planning department had in reaching out to those residents. Mayor, I'm asking you to ask to make the following staff available for the meeting: Barb Kimmel, Shelby Freyer, Kim Coleman, and Joe McDonald, and the city attorney's office. Let me also be crystal clear. The intent of this meeting is not to be confrontational to Lansing staff, not at all. The intent is to get a better understanding of where and when things came off the rails. And I will remind people that tonight, the mayor presents his budget, or the budget was presented to us, and council approves this budget. So if there are resources that need to be diverted to a particular department to address these shortcomings, then we need to hear that. We need a coordinated strategy to address this critically important issue. So back to Mr. Simtob. After we learned that the residents were to be moved from 922 West Homes, imagine my absolute horror that I found out they were being moved to housing owned by Mr. Simtob, which was also pink tagged, that Councilman Cost is well familiar with. How did the administration know they were not pink tagged? Who was coordinating the movement? And Mr. Mayor, I want to thank you in advance for your staff's cooperation. My hope is that we can bring everybody together to try and resolve this issue, because we had signs. We had an unregistered rental burn and a toddler was killed. My son Jordan's babysitter was renting in Lansing, and during the inspection for the rental license, the landlord told them they needed fire detectors in their basement. They failed to install them, and the city did not follow up with an inspection. A fire broke out in the basement, destroying that home. Final note, I need to emphasize that 922 West Homes and 1317 East Kalamazoo and 1415 East Kalamazoo are market rate units. As Councilman Koss said in Cal, we have over 700 red tags. The overwhelming majority of those, 90% of those, are market rate homes. The people who live there have no other place to go because we do not have enough clean, safe, affordable housing in the city. I will note that not $1 of ARPA dollars we received went to creating clean, safe, affordable housing, and we have to do better. And so I'm hoping that we have this committee of the whole meeting to get a debriefing of the events that had happened that last weekend and how we can work together to make this better. We can't just be council doing council and the administration doing administration when lives are at stake here. So that's my statement. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilmember Spitzley. We will have a special committee of the whole meeting at your request, as well as other council members, on April 3rd at 5:30. There's no council meeting after that, so we will be able to devote the entire time to this special committee of the whole. We do request the members that Councilmember Spitzley asked if they could be present to be able to answer questions. I too, and I don't think there's anyone up here that hasn't been involved in those emails and looking at the pictures and being out on the site. We all understand the issues that are out there. I think the thing that is imperative that we try to get to a solution with is we know that these houses didn't become tagged overnight. These were ongoing problems that continued to get worse. There were inspections done and landlords that were supposed to have gone back and made corrections, and those things didn't get done and they weren't followed up by code. So some of those, and it's not all of them, but some of those issues do fall back on this department. I do know, and we do appreciate the work that Ms. Freyer as well as Ms. Kimmel have done after being put in this role to try to make a difference and to get a handle on this. But I do think that there needs to be some accountability as to, all right, we're here, how are we going to get out of this? Because, again, there are a number of rental properties that are still in desperate conditions and people living in those. We all know that have been working on housing issues or public safety, that a pink-tagged property, someone can live in that while the landlord is making improvements, but they are not supposed to rent it after that tenant moves out. And we do know that that's where some of these issues have been happening. We also do know that there are landlords that deliberately go out there and remove tags so the tenants do not know what type of property that they're moving into. So I think it will be a good opportunity to make sure that we're working on short-term, medium, and long-term goals to make sure that our housing stock is something that we can all be proud of. So with that, do we have any other council members?
Thank you, President Wood. Thank you, Councilmember Spitzley, for bringing this up. I was at the inspection at 1317. I want to thank the mayor and Shelby and Barb for standing their ground. And the mayor sent out a couple folks from his office as well to see the conditions at these places. It's unfortunate that it had to unfold that way. So I appreciate them and what they did and standing their ground, because this is a serious issue. And then I want to add just one other note off topic. First Ward constituent meeting is going to be the 1st of April, 10 a.m. at the Rio train station, and I'm sure we're going to be talking about this. So thank you.
Thank you. Other council member comments? Seeing none.
Thank you. I have no comments to make at this time, so we are to community event announcements. If there's anyone in the audience who has a community event, we'll give you 1 minute to tell us the details of that event.
Okay. Is this thing on?
Yes.
Yes, it is.
Okay. So tomorrow there's going to be a meeting for Rejuvenating South Lansing at 5825 Wise Road at the Southside Community Center in the Sandy Allen Room at 6:30, from 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. So I think that's the time. But anyways, so that's going. So where we'll discuss anything Southside related. And on April 12th, the Old Everhood Neighborhood Association is going to be hosting its bi-monthly meeting on April 12th at 2699 South Washington Avenue at the old McLaren Education Center at 7 p.m. from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m., where the Old Ever Neighborhood is going to discuss matters related to the Old Ever Neighborhood. And since I'm a resident of the neighborhood, I hope to attend since it's a few blocks away from my doorstep. So,
thank you.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Other community events? Give you 1 minute.
Hello, Erica Lynn from the Village Lansing. We will be holding our final session of financial education for teens in our winter series next Wednesday, April 5th at the Village Lansing. That'll be at 6 p.m. It is open for all high schoolers and eighth graders if we have space as well. Spots are limited, so you can sign your teen up at www.thevillagelansing.org or shoot us an email at thevillagelansing@gmail.com or even message us on Facebook. But again, that's financial education, and that is done with MSU, FCU. They'll learn basics of budgeting, savings, how to open an account, and then also saving for a goal.
Thank you. Are there other public announcements? Mr. Lopez, do you have the Cesar Chavez? Hint, hint.
Good evening, Council, Mayor, and everybody watching this program. This program, it's a program, right?
Yeah.
This council meeting. Now, I want to invite everyone to the 14th Annual Memorial Celebration, Cesare Chavez Memorial Celebration. Will be taking place on Friday, March 31st
right here in this council chambers. And we have a program, music, and then food. Everybody's invited to stay after the program for food. So please make plans if you can. And we're happy to host you, City Council.
And the program is at?
12 noon. 12 noon to 1 is the program. And food right after that. So we hope many of you can be here. And Mayor and Council will present proclamation and resolution. So thank you very much. Appreciate your help.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Are there other announcements? Okay. Councilmember Spadafore.
Not an announcement, just a point of order. I'm getting messages that the City TV feed is not online.
Okay, we're having a problem with City TV. Apparently, it's not online. If our people in the back can hear us and try to troubleshoot that, that would be appreciated. Okay.
Okay.
All right.
All right, we are to speaker registration for public comment on legislative matters. That is the blue form for general legislative matters, which is basically items 4 through 24 on the agenda. This is also the time to sign in for the show cause hearing regarding 651 East Jolly. If you received a notice regarding this, you're eligible to speak on it. If the owner of 651 East Jolly is here, please jump up and get signed in. And well, we'll give you about another 30 seconds to sign in if you haven't for those speaking opportunities. We are to the mayor's comments.
And Mayor Shore, I'm assuming you're going to use these to present your budget at the same time. Okay, thank you.
I can do that. So before that, just to agree with everybody what you've all been saying on the code compliance issue, certainly now that we have a date, I need to check with those four individuals and make sure they're available, but we're certainly happy to participate, not just what happened, but processes moving forward. We've had lots of conversations, and again, I appreciate Councilman Hussein, Councilwoman Wood, Councilman Cost. I heard originally from you all. I know I talked to Councilman Spadafore, and I know Councilwoman Spitzley talked directly to Barb. Again, I do appreciate all of that. Certainly, as you mentioned, Madam President, Shelby and Barb are doing a lot of work on this, and happy to have that conversation at Committee of the Whole. So let me just check with them, but. And I also know that Jim is bringing full weight of our city on the folks who created this situation and continue to create this situation. And Jim and I spoke about that this morning. You know, anything we can do, we're going to do. So this is it's a situation where property owners put residents in bad situations, tried to move them into bad situations, and we're gonna put the full weight of the city behind this.
I think Councilmember Spitzley had a.
I needed to add two more people because I realized I didn't. Kim Coleman and Joe McDonald. Did I say those? Okay,
yeah.
I just wanted to make sure that I had everybody.
Yeah, and they were. Yes, you said four. You said Coleman, McDonald, Freyer, Kimmel.
Yeah.
Yes. So yes, we will. And they were integral. Kim Coleman, Joe McDonald were integral in making sure that folks were taken care of, that anybody that was attempted to be put into substandard housing were given other options, hoteling, and making sure that the properties that people were being moved into were inspected. So yes, they are. Their work was good last week, but again, we'd like to prevent that from having to be done ever in the future. So yes, thank you. You did mention all four of them.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Nope, you're good. Thank you. Moving on, I want to congratulate Emily Linden. Our loss is council's gain, and honestly, it's a great step for you. So, congratulations, and certainly our folks are ready to work with you, and we look forward to that. It's a good relationship, and I'm very happy for you. A few other small things, not small things, a few other things. Grosbec is open for the season, so anybody who wants to golf, Grosbec is open. But walking only right now. We're not using carts because the grass and stuff is wet. I'm not a golfer, so I don't know the right terms, but it's wet. So walking only, no carts. Tuesday, April 4th is the Crosstown Showdown. So come see our lug nuts beat the MSU Spartans in the Crosstown Showdown. I hope. April 12th, or actually, April 11th is the home opener. So cheer on our lug nuts. April 12th, we're going to be doing seasonal career day at O&M. So people hopefully will come if they want to be seasonal employees. You all know we've had seasonal employee shortages in the past, which has created yard waste problems, amongst other things. So we're trying to recruit seasonal employees. I think it's a Wednesday, so they're also looking at another one on a Saturday. So that's good. Additionally, yard waste drop-off. We're going to do yard waste drop-off. So for anybody out there, it's supposed to be like 60 degrees. Our yard waste doesn't start curbside until April 17th, but we're going to be announcing a yard waste drop-off at O&M on South Street on Saturday, April 1st and Saturday, April 8th from 9 until 2. That'll be on social media. We'll be pushing that out. But we heard from a lot of folks at the end of last year, and we actually heard in our participatory budget meetings that it would be nice to have some drop-off locations when we don't have pickup curbside. So we're going to do that with some of our employees, and then we'll look at it again after November, after yard waste is done. So it's something we heard that we're trying to help out with our residents. I want to congratulate our comptroller, Jeff Chernowski, who retires on Friday. He's been here a few years and done great work, so I want to congratulate him. And we will have a replacement for him starting very shortly after, I believe on the 17th. So that's one position we don't have to worry about. So that's good. This Friday, for those who love 80s and 90s music, is Hairball at the Lansing Center. It's these like hair bands that perform. It's supposed to be really cool. So I hope folks will go to that. And then certainly on Friday, as was already mentioned, is Cesar Chavez's birthday. No, on the 31st, not on Friday. On the 31st is Cesar Chavez's birthday. Very excited to be part of the event at noon here in the chamber. And then there's also at 3 p.m., there's a Cesar Chavez and the Farm Workers Movement in Michigan exhibit at Casa de Rosado Galleria and Culture Center. So people should join that. And then the Lansing for Cesar Chavez scholarship event is at UAW 652 on Saturday at 5. So lots going on to recognize Cesar Chavez and all the great deeds he did. I will move on to the budget, and I will be quick. You've all got the budget books and the packets. The highlights that I'll go through, we do have revenue increases, which is good news. Our total revenues are up 4.5%. About $7.1 million. Property tax saw a 5% increase. Income tax also saw a 5% increase. And some of that is due naturally, and some of it's due to enforcement being up. We talked about the state tapes a few years ago, and Desiree can talk about that when she comes before you. But that's good news that we got the state tapes and we're able to capture the income tax that we need. Our Board of Water and Light return on investment is going up $1.5 million. The state revenues are going up 4%. We've added a variety of pieces that you'll see. Our violent crime initiative is getting an additional $36,000 for equipment. We created every year, you know, we do work with MLK and with Cesar Chavez, and we try and figure out where to find money in the budget. So we created a line of $5,000 for MLK celebration and a line of $5,000 for Cesar Chavez celebration to be able to use to honor these two individuals. Our neighborhood improvement grants are going up. Which is already, it's the same $80,000 we've done, but because we approved the ARPA, that'll go up $200,000. For Councilman Jackson, I know you're going to ask, so I'll get to this in advance. We added an additional full-time position for sustainability work, working with Lori Welch, so that's $118,000. That's an already budgeted position because that was through a position elimination, so it's not a new $118,000, but we reworked a position, Director Kilpatrick did that, so I just wanted you to know that because I know you're going to ask me about it. I know you mentioned that previously. Advanced Peace will be fully funded at $240,000. That's working very well, as we've all seen, so we want to keep that going. Our parks millage is funded at $2.5 million. $500,000 of that goes to cemeteries, and $100,000 goes to golf, and the rest will go towards parks activities that you'll have in the budget book. I don't have that with me. Our roads millage is $2.5 million as well, so that'll go to roads. Our library lease continues to be $136,500, and City Council, there was additional funding requested that we also included. We have some new costs. We're going from PAYGO to actuarially defined contributions for pensions, and that, along with some retirements, extra retirements coming and pension investment losses, will cost us about $3.5 million. And then our OPEB increase will cost us an additional $4.6 million. So those are costs that we have to pay. And then we have the 3% increases for employees, which adds about a $1.9 million because we have to pay our employees. I mentioned the yard waste that we're going to do. We also have tree planting and maintenance. That's come up a few times in our participatory budget meetings. In partnership with the Board of Water and Light, we're going to have about 525 trees to be planted. And we'll also see new trees with road and sewer projects, where we do about one for one for removals, but the one over on the west side, we're going to do two new trees for everyone removed. People are going to be able to request trees, and then we'll put trees in parks, and then we'll put them in certain rights of way also. There are a few things that did come up. The 24/7 warming center would cost about $850,000. So we didn't have room for that in this budget, but we are seeking federal grant funding for that through Senators Peters and Stabenow. So we've put in that request, and if we can get the $850,000, then we'd like to move forward on that. LEDC is looking at fees to cover a new staffer, because we certainly would like to see that, but we want to see what fees we have through through Brownfield and other things that we do, and see if we can cover that through fees. So Carl is looking at that. And then, again, code compliance, there was a request to do a study on fees that came out of the ad hoc, and that study is going into the field. I talked to Barb Kimmel this morning, that's going into the field, so we're gonna see what that shows, and do they show that they need fee increases, and we'll get that to you as soon as possible. If it's not by May, then we'll come to you with a supplemental request after that, as soon as that's done. Those are kind of the highlights. I don't know if anybody had any questions upon review over the weekend, or if you want to just get to that as it comes.
Are there any questions for the mayor based on this briefing? We will start the budget process April 10th, and you have that information in your packet showing you what the schedule is and what groups that we will have before us at that time.
Okay. Thank you.
Anything else, Mr. Mayor?
I think that's plenty, Madam President.
Okay, good. Thank you.
Okay, we are to show cause hearings. We have item number 3, orders to make safe or demolish the owners of property at 651 East Jolly Road. And no one did sign in to speak for that hearing.
Okay, since no one signed in.
We'll go ahead and do the referral.
The referral goes back to public safety.
Okay, we are to public comment on legislative matters, and there are no public hearings included in legislative matters, so it's items 4 through 24 on the agenda, and we do have a couple of people have signed in. First, we have Mike Lynn, followed by Erica Lynn.
Speaking on 11, appointment of Emily Linden as an internal auditor. First of all, I'm really happy to see that you guys did get to a point to have an internal auditor. We've been, I believe, going without one for 3 years or more, one full-time anyways. There's been so many misappropriations of funds that I've been able to witness and see with no accountability for it. So I'm hoping that we definitely use that position. And I'm not sure where Emily come from, and I hope this answer gets answered, but the mayor stating that he was happy to see you take this rise. I thought you maybe came from his office or what. I'm not really sure about that, but how can we find somebody externally? But Emily, do great. Do great. Do good. I think the council will direct you in the right direction. Some of the things that I'm concerned about with the internal auditor from your guys' end anyways is I know we had a financial health team at some point in time, 2018-ish, that, you know, was paraded in here, and we were supposed to come in here and like figure out all our woes. At the time, I was working for the Lansing Fire Department, and I remember I was at the maintenance department. We all had a P card that we used for purchases for things that we needed for the department people, and they came and took all those cards from us because there was such an issue with spending. We were like at a severe deficit. Then I remember in 2020, the conversation was that we were about to be in the red line and not even be able to pay our bills. Thankful for COVID. I mean, it's really sad to say thankful COVID, but it saved our lives. really, because we would have been in a position not to really be able to, again, do our services day in and day out after 4 years of dealing with this administration. So I'm hoping that you, as our internal auditor and the council, really, really dig in deep and take a look at where this money is being spent at. You know, all the money that we've had, I believe we lost out on $8 million, I believe, from our rainy day fund before COVID came in, and then COVID dollars actually reboosted that rainy day fund back up, and then we spent a lot of that money on police equipment and so on and so forth, things that are going to be costing us money going on and on and on and on. I heard the mayor's budget, and I'm hoping you all don't approve a budget that doesn't involve my $1 million that is owed to me for the Elliot Larson Civil Rights Act that was violated. And I'm serious when I say that, because I don't want that money to just come from anywhere when you guys are shocked when the verdict comes back again for a second time being guilty. So I don't want that money to just be pulled away from other things going on in the city, because I, unlike the current mayor, I really do actually care about the people of the city. And so that's a real big hit. Not only was it a hit on me, but it was a hit. It's going to be a hit on the community as well, along with all the 17 others that you guys went in there to look at. So I'm hoping that you all can put her and seat her in that financial health team if it ever comes back around. The red tag situation and all of that, and the funding that goes to some of that stuff or comes from some of that stuff. We talked about this back in 2018. I was in a meeting with the mayor, and the mayor knew this red tag situation was a problem. He knew it was a problem when the young kid died in Rio after the apartment fire there. Inspections were messed up. And so this isn't a real brand new issue, but the conversation around the full weight of the city being on these landlords, I can tell you that I've had it on me. It's pretty scary. So I hope that actually does something. And good luck to you.
Thank you.
Thank you. And next we have Erica Lynn.
Hello. I would like to speak on agenda item 17. I think it's the community funding request. I think there was 8 of them all on one ticket, I guess is the best way to put it. So I, first and foremost, and correct me if I'm wrong, thanks to Ryan on the one single solitary no on that. Every time you all are forced to do something like that, which is basically the ramrodding of things through, it just shows more and more the just how committed this administration often is to just a lack of transparency and a lack of accountability. When things like that are put through and you've got 8 items that require a lot more time and effort to be able to really take a good thorough look at them, it's by design. It takes us out of the decision-making process completely. And that is absolutely by design. Everything that Pat said was correct about that. It feels very haphazard. It's very rushed. And how can any of you really think through each individual project in any formidable way? There's a lot of pressure. You feel pressure to not hold it up. What it is it's political bullying. That's all it is. It's a political bullying tactic, and it's used often. You see it very often in a lot of city councils, and it's getting really tiring to see it here. If you all don't have the time, you don't have the resources to make effective decisions, that's a huge problem for us as a community. The ARPA funds, first time around, same thing. That's exactly what happened the first time around, and the community was in an uproar for good reason. I cannot help to think, we're talking about the red tag situations and all of these landlords, and we had the situation with Lansing Housing Commission, and we have all these things come up. They don't just come up. They've been a problem for a very long time. They've been brewing, and all I can think is, how many consent agendas and how many resolutions with 8-pack things went through that resulted in some of the problems that we see today? How often does that happen? So why is it a fight constantly from us, and now even from council, to our own administration for just transparency, accountability, and a true democratic process that works for the people? It should not be this hard.
Thank you.
Thank you. So with that, we are to the consent agenda.
Madam President.
We're going to pull item 4. We do have that applicant here in front of us that can be sworn in. So I will turn that. I'll get to you. So we'll do that first.
Sure. Let's pull. Okay. Item 4. And
so you want to move on that now?
Yes.
Move forward with it.
You want to go ahead and move forward with that?
Yeah, it's got your name next to it.
It's for Trinidad Pelivanoglu for the Board of Ethics.
Let me pass you the gavel then. All right.
Councilmember Wood.
And since you did such a good job of making sure that I didn't mess up her name, this is the third ward member for the Board of Ethics. The ward members for the Board of Ethics are recommended by the ward council member. And Councilmember Hussein did recommend this person for the board. And so with that, we have the resolution before us, and the term would expire June 30th, 2027. So with that, I would move the resolution.
That is a proper motion. Is there any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, please say nay. Motion carries unanimously.
And Trinidad, sorry to keep you waiting all evening, but if you could come on down, and I see you have your family with you, that's great. Come into the well. Yes.
Stand right behind her.
Beside her, right there.
I do solemnly swear
that I will support the Constitution of the United States.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States.
And the Constitution of the State of Michigan.
And the Constitution of the State of Michigan.
And that I will faithfully discharge the duties.
And that I will faithfully discharge the duties.
Of the Office of the Board of Ethics member.
Of the Office of the Board of Ethics member.
According to the best of my ability.
According to the best of my ability.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
And she's going to, Mr. Swope has some paperwork for you to sign. We will be pulling item 11, which was the appointment of Emily. That was already done. Councilmember Brown.
I'd like to pull item 17.
And we will pull item 17, Councilmember Spadafore. And we will be pulling item 16 as well. With that, the consent agenda. Councilmember Spadafore.
Thank you, Madam President. I move the consent agenda, which includes items 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 12, 13, 14, 15, 18, and 19, which are a tribute in recognition of the Honorable Judge Kristen Simmons, a tribute in recognition of Nikki Thompson Frazier, a tribute in recognition of the Honorable Judge Clinton Kennedy III, a tribute in recognition of Carmen Turner, a tribute in recognition of Osset Pope, a tribute in recognition of Zachary Barker, grant acceptance for the Michigan State Housing and Development Authority's Emergency Solutions Federal Grant, grant acceptance of the Michigan State Housing and Development Authority Emergency Solutions Match Grant, a grant application to the Michigan Department of Transportation Local Bridge Program, a grant acceptance to the Michigan Department of Transportation Local Transportation Alternatives Program, setting of the public hearing on IDD 01-2023, an industrial development district for Consumers Energy Company, and the setting of a public hearing on PPE 1-2023, the personal property tax exemption filed by Consumers Energy Company. Move the consent agenda as amended.
All right, we have the consent agenda before us. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Passes unanimously. With that,
looks like
we're down
on
to
item
16. Yes.
Yes.
Councilmember Spadafore.
Madam President, before you is a substitute for item 16, so I'd like to move the substitute first.
All right, we have a motion on the substitute. All those in favor of moving the substitute say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Passes unanimously. Councilmember Spadafore.
Sure. So the resolution that we're considering would move the, for those of you not familiar with it, the Claims Review Committee has the ability to handle administrative claims in the amount of $2,500 or less. Historically, that has been set at an amount that corresponded with the amount that folks could go to small claims court with. And it has been amended several times throughout the history. As far back as 1987, we saw it was as low as 500. In 1989, it was raised to 1,000. In 2014, it was raised to 2,500. We started looking at this and had a resolution that raised it to $5,000 in committee this afternoon. And discussion committee illustrated that small claims court was not 5,000, it was actually 6,500. So we moved the we changed the resolution to reflect 6,500. This will allow more claims that generally might not come to us or might come to us instead of claims review to go through the claims review process for one more stab at administrative relief before coming right to the city council. So with that, I would move the resolution.
We have a motion on the resolution. Are there any questions or concerns? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye. Aye. Opposed? Passes unanimously.
Okay, then we are to item 17.
Councilmember Spadafore.
Madam President, I would move item 17, which is a resolution supporting of the City of Lansing's community funding project requests to Congresswoman Alyssa Slotkin. That list was presented to us at the Committee of the Whole this evening. It is found in a resolution that is very long. It includes eight projects that include the City of Lansing's Public Services Facility. It was in Cal, excuse me. I thought the whole thing would be in our packet, but it was actually in Cal. Just a moment, please. I get the numbers correct. It's a $5.5 million request for the wastewater treatment plant upgrades, a $100,000 to $100 million scalable program for residential footing drain disconnect programs, $15 million for the combined part of our combined sewer overflow system support, a $1.5 million request for a city-owned fiber network replacement, $9.8 million for the Michigan Avenue corridor enhancements, $10 million to help offset the bonding costs of the public safety complex construction, $100,000 for flood barriers for Kalamazoo Street, and $800,000 to assist in the funding for the universally accessible playground park at Adado Riverfront Park.
Okay, we have the motion before us. Are there any questions? Councilmember Jackson.
It's more of a comment since this is kind of I wouldn't say controversial, but when I first looked at it, I was like, yeah, why did we pick this? Why did we pick that? Park at Adado, that's right next to the river. I want to take my kids there. So I was looking at it like that and then thinking, well, I would rather see, you know, a homeless shelter, 24/7 heating center, all these different things instead. But then I kind of asked Emily here, who apparently has some inside knowledge of the criteria they use and why they pick those. And I learned that the federal government basically put a webinar out that says, this is what you can apply for, this is what we're looking for, this is how you do it. And apparently, and this is just from Emily, who was a part of that, those meetings with that criteria, said that social services were not included as eligible requests. So, I mean, it is kind of bland here, but, you know, I guess everything's somewhat political, and I'm sure Representative Slotkin wouldn't want to take anything controversial to the plate. So I'm supporting it off of the knowledge that I have and the fact that we are supposed to be unified for these asks, and for the most part, because we do need these things, and we're supposed to be unified, and there was some criteria that kind of limited some of the other more pressing things that I would have chose if I were in charge. So that's why I'll support it.
Are there other comments? Councilmember Spitzley.
Thank you, Madam President. I appreciate that. Thank you. I wish you would have known about that earlier, but the criteria. But I guess I'm confused. So we talked earlier about, you know, some of the social programs in Cal, and we were told that that was going to be an ask for the Senate. So are the rules different from the House and the Senate, or what's going on?
I have the mayor, and then I'll go to Emily.
We're probably going to say the same thing. Yes, because we have two different chambers with two different political parties in charge in Congress. The House has said that they're not going to entertain social services. The Senate has not.
Okay.
So we are, for the House, submitting these eight. For the Senate, they did a different process. They did a budget by budget. The House did a submit as many as you know, up to, I don't remember, a certain number. I think Congresswoman Slotkin gets 15 for her district. In the Senate,
It's budget by budget, so we did submit that. We found a budget to put it into the Senate, the social service, the warming center, and I think the hope is that if we get that in the Senate, they have negotiations between the two of them, and there is flexibility. We're going to try, but we couldn't in the House.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Emily? You got to learn to turn on your mic. It is? You're going to have to learn to grab Brian's mic. Okay. All right. Thank you. Councilmember Brown.
Thank you, and thank you for all the explanations. Emily, do you have, because everyone's talking about the requirements, do you have the actual requirements of what you're able to apply for with the community funding? A lot of things that Erica Lynn said about being inclusive and making sure that, you know, as far as we know, the administration knows what's going on in the city, but, you know, for example, the Morris Pool and different projects are important to the people, and having the democratic process say, hey, if there was 10 projects, we would be able to support. So I know that we're saying social service programs, but again, as I talked to Deputy Mayor Jane, there are, because I went to the webinar, so I'm talking about the exact from Alyssa Slotkin's office that you can apply for community development block grant funding. Is that correct?
This one, it does work.
Yes, it does.
CDBG funding was separate from the human services, so it
correct.
Was broken out into different accounts.
So
that
can,
all is public information. So I'm happy to send that all over, the exact accounts that you could apply for programs in. So we did apply for one that has to do with CDBG funding. I think that's the one in regards to the police and fire building. And so the mayor's office picked these projects after working with the congresswoman's office about what was the most likely to be funded in the final appropriations bill, because like the mayor said, there's the House has to make recommendations, the Senate makes recommendations, and then they, you know, have to do a whole process to come up with a final bill. So the ones that were put forward were what was most likely to get to the end of that process.
So what is the definition of the thank you so much for that, the definition of the community development block grant, I guess, fund of what they consider acceptable?
I can send you all of that information. It's all on the website. Off the top of my head, it was just CDBG funding in general was eligible.
Okay. And then, Mayor, is there a process that you include the constituents and community in those decisions? You know, what's important? I do understand there's a holistic picture, but, you know, we've had several constituents, and, of course, you and I went back and forth as far as projects that could be approved, but, you know, we're not on your site. So just trying to understand that better.
We talked to many of our department heads, and these are things that have been talked about for many years. The footings came up several times in public comment after we had our flooding. The accessibility park has come up several times in terms of funding. I'm trying to remember the other ones. Each one of these was a project identified at some point recently as a tremendous need that we couldn't afford. So we put these forward as things that we know are a need. And these are the ones that Congresswoman Slotkin's office said that would be most likely. We found that out last Wednesday, and we immediately contacted the chair, or spoke with the chair about getting that information out to you all and putting it on the agenda, and she was gracious enough to do that, and here we are.
So there isn't any community or constituent input in the process?
Well, there is based on the past. We certainly took many, I'd probably say all of these projects, I have to look at them. These were all things that have been talked about publicly in the past.
Oh, and these are things. So earlier in the committee of the whole, I don't know if you were brief, but they were talking about, like, for example, and I know President Wood was saying that the funding that we had for a study had not been approved, but like, for example, the Morris River Pool Council and costs had brought up as well. So just looking at, you know, the needs, you know, and I know it's a short turnaround, but trying to get more understanding of that as well.
Yeah, the Morris Park pool, we just put funding in from ARPA mm-hmm. for the study. That was the request from the committee. We have to have the actual engineering documents. We know it's going to be about $6 million, or at least it was when the pandemic started. It's probably more than that now, but we don't have that information. But I don't know that we would have gotten $6 or $7 million. I don't know that it would have qualified. Right now, we have to wait for the initial study, the engineering documents, and then the committee is going to start seeking grants from there. And we're working. We have discussed with them. We are going to be working with them on that. So it's certainly something that we have included in a variety of grant asks. But until we have that information, I'm not sure what we can do to request that.
So, for example, and I won't belabor the point, like let's say you have the result of the study this year, and next year that's something, you know, because the people have really wanted it, the community funding could be something that, you know, that could be a project that would be selected.
Yeah. We might. Again, we're taking a look at things that have been indicated as needs in the past, and every one of the things that are on this list have been brought to us by the public, by our department directors who deal with a lot of these issues every day. And these have all come up, and this is a chance to solve a lot of these problems. We have a lot of people on the south side of Lansing who need those drain footings because their basements flood. We have a universal playground that we've been working on with the Community Foundation where there's money for it. And we've been talking about that for numerous years. I don't remember the other six off the top of my head, but they've all been discussed in one fashion or another publicly, either here or throughout the community.
Thank you.
You're welcome. The only thing I would ask, Mr. Mayor, is since we were discussing the earmarks in the Senate, as you get those, if we could get them in a timely manner so that both our discussion and the public's discussion can be done in a manner that we're, and I know these are earlier than the ones we're working on than what we got last year, so I'm just trying to encourage right now.
With the Senate, that's publicly on their website. Each senator has that publicly on their website. So we will, you know, we have submitted projects and we've.
So you don't need us to approve the same as what the.
Do you know? I don't know that we. I think we can just put in as many projects as we want per budget.
Yes.
But it, certainly if council wants to submit on behalf of the city, we can send you. Or if you want to send us resolutions, we can put them together. If you want to do a resolution for those to be submitted, I don't see a problem with that. You know, we've got department directors that are each, we took each budget, 15 or 16 budgets, and we sent them out to our directors and said, hey, take a look at these, see what, you know, what the needs are, and start putting in, and then let's see what each senator comes back to us and says, and then we can bring them to you to say these are the ones we want to officially apply for. But if you want to take a look at these budgets as well, and have council put something together, I think that's appropriate, but that's up to you.
Okay, thank you. Councilmember Spitzley.
Thank you, Madam President. I appreciate that, but then again, council's working alone, the administration's working alone. You know, to me, that if we're gonna be submitting projects that benefit the city of Lansing, we need to work together. I do not, as council, wanna go on a website and figure out what's eligible and what's not, and then submit them on behalf of council, you submit them on behalf of the administration, they're gonna call you and say, what do you think about this? They're gonna call us, maybe, and say, think about that. I want a coordinated strategy. And so I will echo what President Wood said. Why can't we have a discussion about the projects that you're gonna bring forth in a timely manner so that we can ask the questions? I don't want to operate in a silo on this.
Yeah. We'll get you the list of the ones
okay.
that our folks
much
are submitting.
Much appreciated.
And then you can tell us if you want us to add anything and we can submit it.
That would be
right.
Good.
Thank
Thanks.
You.
Sure, we can do that.
Okay, we've got the motion before us. Are there any other questions? Okay, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
We have a 5-1. It passes.
Okay, we are to resolutions for action. We have item 20, the assignment of the stadium lease.
Councilmember Spadafore.
Yes, I would move the resolution assigning the stadium license lease, service agreement, rights, and obligations from Take Me Out to the Ball Game LLC to Diamond Baseball Holdings LLC. We did hear this evening from Peter Freund. I think I got that close enough back in the background. CEO of Diamond Baseball Holdings. Chatted with us a little bit about the commitment to the Lansing team. This lease will transfer all of the previously negotiated obligations to the new company through 2038.
All right, thank you. We have a motion before us. Are there any questions? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye. Aye. Opposed? Passes unanimously. Thank you very much.
Okay, item 70, the special assessment for Glenburn Commons.
Councilmember Spadafor.
I'm sorry, item 21, which if you pass it will be resolution number 70.
Thank you. I'm trying to pay attention here. You're throwing me off. I would move the assessment, the resolution for the special assessment for Glenburn Commons, trash and grass abatement. You'll all recall this is an annual thing we do to help with the common area there in the Glenburn subdivision. The average assessment per parcel is $48 this year.
Okay, and actually we got some questions through emails on this, and this is, as Councilmember Spadafor and years before Councilmember Dunbar would indicate, this was a commons area that was part of a co-op, and when it went defunct, there was a lot of trash that gathered out in this area. The neighbors came to us. They wanted it turned into a park. It wasn't something that we were willing to take on. And because of that, we created this assessment, which is very reasonable, as Councilmember Spadafor indicated, for the residents that are part of the co-op area. And so this is the assessment that they receive once a year for the city billing for the trash that they take care of and mow. So with that, all those in favor say aye. Aye. Opposed? Passes unanimously. Thank you, Councilmember Spadafor.
Okay, we are to introduction of ordinances. Let's see. Okay. The Committee on Development and Planning introduced an ordinance of the City of Lansing, Michigan to amend Chapter 812, Section 812.02 of the Lansing Codified Ordinances to increase the number of members of the Principal Shopping District Board from 8 to 9 and clarify the requirements for board composition. The ordinance is read a first time by its title and referred to the Committee on Development and Planning.
Councilmember Spitzley.
What he said.
Okay.
Kathleen Edgerly from the Downtown Lansing Inc. came and talked before us, and basically it's to prevent a tie on the Downtown Lansing Inc. board, and so they want to increase the board members by one. With that, I'll move the resolution to set a public hearing, and I think the public hearing is set for April 10th.
All right, we have a motion before us. Are there any questions or concerns? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Passes unanimously.
Okay, we have the introduction of an ordinance. Councilmember Spadafor introduced an ordinance of the City of Lansing, Michigan to amend the Lansing Codified Ordinances by amending Chapter 206, Section 206.16, to increase the maximum contract amount for which a Lansing-based bidder has an opportunity to match the lowest bid from a non-Lansing-based business. The ordinance is read a first time by its title and referred to the Committee on Ways and Means.
Councilmember Spadafor.
Councilmember Wood, I would move the resolution setting the public hearing for Monday, April 10th at 7 p.m. The ordinance before us will change the maximum amount for a contract to be considered for the local bidder exception from $500,000 to $1 million. You would still have to meet a couple requirements as far as physical presence, as I think Councilmember Jackson brought up those questions today in committee. But basically, this would allow for contracts between $15,000 and $1 million, a local bidder to come back if they were not the lowest bidder and rebid the project to match at that lowest, that second, at that lowest bid number. So there is a companion resolution that would change some of the percentages associated with that, but that is still back in the Waste and Means Committee. Waiting action on this ordinance.
Okay, we have a motion to set the public hearing for April 10th. Are there any other questions? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye. Aye. Opposed? Passes unanimously.
Okay, we are to ordinances for passage. We have an ordinance of the City of Lansing, Michigan to amend the Lansing Codified Ordinances by amending Chapter 1212 to add Section 1212.01 that provides for the renaming of the City Planning Board to the Planning Commission pursuant to Section 11 of the Michigan Planning Enabling Act, being MCL 125.3811, is read a second time by its title. The ordinance was reported from the Committee on Development and Planning and is on the order of immediate passage.
Councilmember Spitzley.
Thank you, Madam President. It's really just a housekeeping kind of perfunctory ordinance. Statewide, the planning departments are called commission. And so the planning board wanted to make it consistent with statewide naming. And so they asked to rename the planning board to the planning commission. We had a public hearing on this and there were no comments. One of the things that came before us was whether there was going to be a cost and did we have to reprint everything. Our city attorney told us no, that was not the case, that by reference to this ordinance, everything that is now called the planning board by reference will be known as the planning commission. And with that, I will move the motion for the ordinance for passing. I don't know what I just said, but
yeah, we know what you mean.
Okay, thank you.
With that, a roll call vote.
On adoption of the ordinance, Councilmember Brown?
Yes.
Councilmember Cost?
Yes.
Councilmember Jackson?
Yes.
Councilmember Spadafor?
No.
Councilmember Spitzley?
Yes.
Councilmember Wood?
Yes.
5 yeas, 1 nay, the ordinance is adopted.
Do we have immediate effect here or no?
Are you asking for immediate
effect? Move for immediate effect.
Okay. I have a motion for immediate effect. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Passes unanimously.
Okay, we are to speaker registration for public comment on city government related matters. So if you wish to address the city council on any city government related matter, please complete the yellow form in the back in the next minute. And in the meantime, we are to reports of boards and commissions and officers and communications.
Councilmember Spadafor.
Madam.
And do you have something before that, Councilmember Spitzley?
I do.
All right.
Thank you, Madam President. We, in our development and planning meeting on March 15th, we had talked to Barb Kimmel, and we know that the Economic Development Planning Department is undergoing a review, and Shelby Frayer is kind of at the helm of that. And so one of the things that I would like to have and mention to our council members, because Shelby wasn't available to come to our development and planning, is that we really need to look at and provide recommendations and our thoughts to Shelby as to, you know, what that department looks like. I mean, for me, one of mine is that it's just too big and we need to do something with the code enforcement and some other things. But I think that this is our opportunity to provide our thoughts to Shelby as she is undergoing this task of looking at this department and deciding how it's going to look forward. Thank you, Madam President.
Thank you. Councilmember Spadafor.
Madam President, I move that all items be considered as being read in full and the proper referrals be made by you.
Are there any questions or concerns? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Passed unanimously.
We have minutes of boards and commissions.
Placed on file.
Fireworks display for the Lugnuts.
City operations.
Liquor license for RYKY. DBA Leo's Lodge.
City operations.
Tri-County Regional Planning Commission audits and financial statements.
Development and planning.
From the mayor, community funded project requests that's already been dealt with.
That's committee of a whole and placed on file.
The reappointment of Michael McKissick to the EDC, TIFA, and Lansing Brownfield Board.
Development and planning committee.
Community Development Block Grant fiscal or annual action plan for the coming fiscal year, as well as setting the public hearing on that item.
Committee of a whole and internal auditor.
And
yay!
haven't gotten to say that in a long time.
I know.
And then Z1 of 2023, 4111 Aurelius, rezoning to R2 Suburban Detached Residential District and the associated setting the public hearing.
Development and planning.
Z3 2023, several addresses on May Street, Saginaw Street, East Park, Quaker Court, and North Pennsylvania Avenue, rezoning to D2 Urban Flex and the associated setting the public hearing.
Development and planning.
Act 1 2023, East Michigan Avenue right of way easements.
Development and planning.
We have lot split 4 of 2023 to split 4512 and 4524 Ingham Street.
Development and planning.
Lot split 7 of 2023 and application for 4720 Ballard Road.
Development and planning.
SLU 1 of 2023, special land use for 109 East Randolph Street, as well as the associated setting the public hearing.
Development and planning.
And the fiscal year 2023 to 2024 budget, as well as this setting the public hearing.
Committee of a whole and internal auditor.
And communications and petitions, communication from Karen Henderson about city trees and plants.
Parks Board.
And the a notice from the Liquor Control Commission for the Old Bag of Nails Pub, a request for some additional permits.
City operations.
We are to motion of excused absence.
Councilmember Spadafore.
I would move to excuse Councilmembers Garza and Hussein from this evening's meetings.
We have a motion. Are there any questions or concerns? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Passes unanimously. Councilmember Spitzley, when you get to the items in development and planning on May Street, if you and on your agenda, would you please make sure that Councilmember Koss knows that they're when they're up at your committee? Thank you. All right, thank you.
And we're to remarks by council members.
Are there any other comments by council members? Seeing none. Oh, Councilmember Brown.
I was going to say it was a pleasure in the unfortunate situation with all the red tags and everything, but working with all of you, council, back and forth, everybody doing their part, working as a team to really help our community, makes the sacrifices that we make worth it. And so I'm so appreciative of all of you all and your parts that everyone played. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Are there any other comments? Seeing none. Mayor Shore, do you have any other comments? None. All right.
Okay, we're to city government. Public comment on city government related matters. We have Daniel K. Arnold, followed by Elaine Fishoff. You have 3 minutes to address the city council on city government matters.
Hello, everybody. This is Daniel Arnold, Facebook Guy Smiley. I want to address a property on Genesee and Butler. I kind of tagged everybody in it, you know, everybody on Facebook, you know, Councilmember Jackson, Councilmember Cost, Councilmember Wood, Councilmember Brown, Councilmember Spadafore, Mayor Shore. So, you know, after this session, make sure anybody listening to, make sure you go onto the Facebook and see what these pictures of this building. It's like a big school building with many broken windows. And, you know, I'm a criminal justice student. And they have what they call, what I learned about, called the broken window theory. That if there's signs of disorder in a neighborhood, like a broken window, that encourages petty crime and then leads to more serious crimes. It just keeps getting worse. One window breaks. There's a lot of broken windows. So, you know, I really love being in this city. And just keep paying attention to Nation Outside. You know, they pushed for that fair choice housing ordinance and you know, there was a push for it to be considered on the state level instead of the local, but just keep listening to Nation Outside. They're just some amazing people that the returning citizens who just really take a lot of pride in who they are. And I think they bring something great to the city, like Tony Gannon and Aisha Wilson and all the people that joined and backed them They got some momentum, and they're a big part of what we do and why this is a great city. And so, yeah, just give them a fair chance in listening and anything they say. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next, we have Elaine Fischoff, followed by Jerry Norris. Elaine left us for the evening. So Jerry Norris, followed by Nicholas Zandi.
Hi, I'm Jerry Norris. I'm with The Fledge, and I'm here to talk about a letter that I received from the Planning and Zoning Office regarding the Fledge Overnight Stay Warming Center. I will come back to this after I give a brief history of The Fledge. I want to start by saying that The Fledge is a radically inclusive ideation and makerspace incubator and accelerator with a mission to create opportunity to pursue happiness. There is nothing in there about food insecurity, about harm reduction, about being a warming shelter, about trying to provide transportation, about trying to provide technology for people, for getting involved in housing. Nothing in our original mission had anything to do with that. But we come to this city where 40-some percent of us live below the Alice threshold, another 20% of us live below the poverty line, 65% of us do not have the means to meet our basic needs, and we're sitting up here sending me a letter, a threatening letter, saying legal action, trying to instill fear in me, saying I'm putting people in harm. When I and The Fledge opened up a warming shelter, nobody died. On Christmas, during the polar vortex, a lady died, a substance use disorder person that we take care of died underneath the Shiawassee Bridge. Another guy that also comes to The Fledge died in his car with his dog of carbon monoxide. And then you send me this letter. Not a single one of you have made a call for me about any of this. We house 42 people in the most dignified way, and you're threatening me with this, and then you're going to say you're compassionate, you care about this, you care about the basic needs, you're inclusive, these projects this and these projects that. Put your money where your mouth is. I call shenanigans. Look up what that word means. There's some evil going on in the background here. I'm here to help. I've told you that from the beginning, and I've done nothing but help. The Fledge is effective. We do what we say we're going to do, and we do it right. The fire marshal came in. He did a life safety inspection. He walked through. We fixed everything. We made it better. The fire department's the only department that's helped us. They're the only one I'm happy that I ever pay anything for. I can't even keep my trash service without you canceling my stuff. You make it nothing but hard for me to help, and I'm sick and tired of it. Don't send me these letters anymore. I'm not scared of you. I'm going to keep doing what's right.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next is Nicholas Zandi, followed by Farhan Sheikh Omar.
So, I am Nicholas Zandi. I am representing Decentralized Lansing. I'm from the Second Ward. I want to speak on issues I have with the city in general, which some in the elites have stated that our roads are in great condition and are the best in the state. Oh, how I wish that were true. Living on the South Side and going to neighborhood meetings across the South Side community, they have told me that roads there are terrible. And also, I've seen roads there. They're awful. Going on the Catabus down Pleasant Grove, the road is bumpy AF. Same thing with Lions Road, in fact. Just running through there, I've been noticing many cracks in the street and many potholes. And the city isn't really doing anything about it. And the excuses I've been seeing from those meetings confirms my suspicion that the city doesn't truly care for the South Side, even though they've held the city there. Speaking of that, they've been saying that they're talking about increased funds of this neighborhoods department. Those haven't really gone into action. It's still the least funded department, and some houses in many neighborhoods, and many other properties have been red tagged as unsafe to live in. And considering that many landlords own those properties, it kind of makes sense that why both capitalist Adam Smith and communist Karl Marx have quite the disdain for landlords. And all I ask is that the city addresses these issues and, as the governor said, fixes the darn roads and funds the gosh darn neighborhoods, and that we actually open up our city charter to give a voice to the voiceless in some of those neighborhoods who don't even have neighborhoods associations on the South Side. So it's another issue. So that's all I need to say, and I yield the rest of my time.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next, we have Farhan Sheikh Omar, followed by Mike Lynn.
Good evening. Farhan Sheikh Omar. Some of you guys have no shame, literally no shame. Lansing is in the midst of a major housing crisis. About a year ago, I asked three important questions. Where is the red line? When will city officials intervene? When will we see accountability? Three questions that has yet to be answered. And the sad thing is, a toddler died. A toddler died in this city because you guys have failed to hold these people accountable. It's not the landlords that are putting these residents in danger. It's your department, Andy, the code enforcement, a department that we pay taxes to keep and operate. We should be holding meetings, special meetings, and inviting these directors that are in charge of the code department and asking them, why are people still living in a house that's red tagged? Why? You guys all have children. A toddler died in the city. And you guys, that didn't even move you guys. Nobody was held accountable. Nobody. Everything just moved on as if nothing happened. It was a preventable tragedy. Preventable. And then you guys want to send Jerry a letter for helping people, for doing the job that y'all are not doing? For free? Y'all don't even give him money to run the Fledge. He's doing this for free. He puts in a lot of time away from his family and everything that he loves to make this community a better place. And y'all want to send him a threatening letter? Like, you guys have no shame. Smirka, talking to you, sir. You should look at me when I'm talking to you. Sir, you are a city attorney. Keyword, city. You work for us. You don't work for Andy Shore. He doesn't pay your salary. In fact, we pay his salary. There's a huge difference. And your job is not to protect Andy Shore, because Andy is going to be gone, just like you almost left the city a couple weeks ago. So the people who are going to be stuck with these million-dollar lawsuits, it's going to be people like me and my kids and the residents of this community, of this city. It's a shame that you're not even looking at me, that you're on your phone. And I'm here not getting paid. You're getting paid to sit there. All of you are getting paid to sit there. I'm not. You have no shame, Smirka.
Thank you. Next, we have Mike Lynn, followed by Erica Lynn.
Thank you. I'm here to address Andy Shore specific. I'm sick and tired of the lies, plainly. I just looked at your report, your annual report, and it said down in the litigation portion that my case was a potential lawsuit. Why is it that we just can't be for real and real about what's going on in here? You got found guilty. Your department, your administration got found guilty of the L.A. Larson Act. You broke it. The jury found you all guilty, and that's still not been talked about. Nobody up here is talking about it. I don't know if the city attorney has told you guys can't speak on these matters. You can speak on these matters. It's done. It's over with. It's over. It's done. So they can throw as many motions as they want to this. But what are you guys doing to fix the issue? The overturn in the mayor's office should be extremely problematic. That's extremely problematic, the overturn over there. All the positions that are paid that just pop up here. We had a deputy mayor sitting here talking about what her opinion is. We didn't elect her to be a mayor. We didn't elect her. We have no idea who this woman is. And she has an opinion on what goes on in this city. So I commend you all because I see you all taking a stand somewhat and asking the right questions. Keep it going. All of these lies, the state of the city address, our city is not in that state. Why is it that you all keep accepting that? Tell the truth. What is our city really doing right now? Jerry got up here and talked about the letter that he received. That man works day and night. He's a tech wizard. Could be a millionaire somewhere if he wanted to. And decided to come here and help this city. And all you do from your administration is try to hamper anything and anything any of us do. I lost my job advocating for this people of this city. I had a job where I risked my life for this city. What have you done? You tried to leave us 2 weeks ago. And as I said standing here, you were going to act like this big parade of I can't leave because I love Lansing and all of this BS. No, what happened was the Dems told you to take three seats because all of what you've done here, 51% of the voters decided they didn't want you last year. That's why you stayed, because you can't go nowhere else. This is your last spot. We're going to make sure over the next, 8 months, we're going to get a charter change and remove that position completely from the city of Lansing government. Where are you going to go, buddy? Where are you going to go? Where else are you going to go and lie about all the issues going on? So the media is on your side. The media won't talk about what's going on in the city, which made me have to create something just to tell the damn truth. Just to tell the truth about what you should be caring about. Fixing the problems, not your image. That's all you care about is fixing your image. In the federal Department of Justice, they're coming here to put you guys under mandates. I've heard nothing about that in here. The HR department is under mandates right now because of discrimination and retaliation. The same things that got me fired, retaliation. Because I had the audacity to say that I was discriminated against. I didn't know who you were prior to that. You took it upon yourself, just like you told this whole council here to put the whole weight of the city on me. And that's what you did. And I prevailed. I got through. Don't cause no more harm to these landlords. Just do your job. Do your job. You red tag them. If they don't get it right, move them up out of there. Condemn the places. That's what your job is. You have a real good job of making all of your people who are defunctory around your cabinet sound like they're the best workers in the world. You know, we all know that's not true. Why do you do that? Take some responsibility and accountability. Be a leader, like Patricia Spitzley said.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mike.
Next, we have Erica Lynn as our final speaker tonight.
So I first want to just say, I want to just publicly state the obvious that I am in complete solidarity with Jerry Norris from The Fledge. I find it just disgustingly appalling that he would have to receive a letter like that from the city, that it is threatening, it is extremely aggressive, and it's wholeheartedly unnecessary. If you remember, we came here with the People's Council of Lansing in solidarity with many other organizations. We staged protests, we did petitions. The city, the community, your community wants a 24-hour warming center. It is long overdue, we understand that. We wanted to avoid people dying, so my gosh, Jerry had the audacity and the graciousness in his heart to open up his doors to keep people alive. I remember standing here saying, we don't want anyone to die. So he took action, and now he's going to be punished and threatened for that? This is what I meant earlier when I talked about the vein of democracy and what that's supposed to look like. You don't send a letter to a person like Jerry. You don't sit in back rooms with people smearing people's names, people like me, people like my husband, people like Jerry. That the village's mission statement has nothing to do with basic needs and harm reduction and things like that. Yes, we do it through that lens, but it's not food, it's not clothing, it's none of those things, just like it's not for Jerry, but yet here we are. And why is that? Because constantly basic needs are not met in our city. Our community is hurting. Harmed. People cannot meet their own basic needs. And instead of figuring out a way to make sure that Jerry can continue to do his work, that's what he gets out of it? Come on.
Then we get a resolution with 8 community funding projects. Let me tell you, I know a little something about community funding projects and those specific appropriations from Slotkin's office. That is untrue. There were no specific guidelines. And if you know me, you know I speak truth and I come with receipts. All you had to do to initially apply was a one-pager. And all that one-pager asked you is to make the case for your project. That's it. If they wanted to give you feedback, if they had other questions, they would ask you. Trust me, I know. So if you made the case, and a lot of that case had to do with letters of support from the community, all I heard was, we're going to backfill for things that we don't have the money for because I don't know how to take care of our financial health in this city. That's all I heard. Don't we have budget line items for those things, for infrastructure, for city operations, for public safety? Where does that money go that we're constantly seeking grant funds for that, ARPA funds for that? It's not okay. It's about damn time he sits in that seat and answers some questions, the same way that the Financial Committee and Desiree had to sit there and answer questions.
Thank you.
Thank you. This is just a reminder that we will be having a special committee of a whole meeting on April 3rd at 5:30 for the public and for council members. Also, Mayor Shore, if you could have the departments and council a copy of the letter that was mentioned so that we have an opportunity just to see what was sent out because council was not aware of that. Thank you. With that, we are adjourned.